Random thought. Is it time for us as black people to stop being triggered by the N-word? Mm. And I ask that because there's this video that came out, and this is courtesy of D.L. Hewley. I'm using the post from D.L. Hewley, as you see here.
There's a difference
between black and niggers. Oh. Oh. Oh.
The brother layeth the smacketh down on his candy ass for having the nerve to say that shit to him. And there are people in the comments, which, you know, that's always my favorite place to go. Like, oh, he was, those slaps came from the ancestors. Every time he reached back, he grabbed another ancestor. But you have an interesting point on this, because while it is entertaining to watch, you think that we shouldn't be triggered and allow somebody to control us this way.
It was painful to watch, honestly. But so I think a few different things. I do think that we got to stop being triggered, but let me make sure I clarify that. I'm not saying allow people to disrespect you or treat you less than. That should never happen. You should never let anybody do that. And we don't know everything that happened that led up to this video. I'm always a big believer in what led up to it. But
oh boy, here we go. Whatever this person said,
whatever person said, I believe like if that's your reaction to go beat this tall, strong brother, to beat up this old white man that you know you can physically whoop, right? To beat him down that bad over that, you're giving him power over the word. And don't give that person or anybody power over you to make you just lose your shit like that. I think there's different instances that sometimes in life you got to fight. I get that. But that wasn't one of those times. You could easily walk away, but don't give a person that power just because they said that. And again, we don't know the full context of what happened before then, but I think we have to stop being that where as soon as you hear the N-word, you just start flipping tables and losing your shit. Like, I don't think that should be your go-to response. And I think that there are certain people that are just that sensitive. As soon as they hear it, everything goes out the window. Now they're just trying to beat down everybody. I'm like, come on, man. You know, it's not that serious.
And a callback to last week's episode, Rogan, please. because two things here. That brother showed a lot of restraint because he could have closed his fist and that man would have been in the hospital in the emergency room getting surgery. And then this man would probably be in jail for a lot worse because, of course, this is all this assault, right? He open hand slapped that man. And basically he was just like, I want you to look in the mirror and see this shit later. And he gave him a and then another. What did your mama do to you when you were misbehaving? And you weren't listening. And you still weren't listening. That's all he did. That was discipline. That's all it was.
It's still assault. And he's probably going to face a charge. And you can't go to judge. He said the N-word. And I just reacted. That's great. You're still going to be on your record with the assault charge. But
I didn't punch him.
Yeah. I slapped. But I'm like this. In that instance, I'm okay with one slap. And the reason why I say just one slap, as big as that brother was, you know that you can just dominate this old man. So do you need to keep going after him like that? You knocked him onto the bar, then you knock him to the ground, and you didn't hear the guy say the N-word. It wasn't like he was still saying a smack. Joe Rogan, smack. Joe Rogan.
No, you don't know what else that man was saying. Because, you know, that man was getting his tongue slapped around. So it was probably very, very soft.
He was probably saying, help me, Jesus, because he was
The brother was walking off. The brother was walking off, right? And as he's walking off, he goes, shut your motherfucking mouth. So obviously the man was saying something else. Only thing we heard was somebody go, sir, we're going to have to ask you to leave. He didn't go back and smack the shit out of the woman who said that.
Yeah.
So obviously the man said something.
But that man didn't have to.
And so he went back and
But that brother went straight roots on him. Toby, say it. Toby, say it.
Like, that's why one slap didn't roots. Work because so that man kept just talking shit.
One slap and then walk away. One slap, he probably could have got away with it, got in his car, left, go home, have a beer, chill out, and you probably won't get arrested. He, after the video of this goes viral, the police are going to use that, and he is going to go to jail. You can't, John Coffey should not be beating on that old white man like that. That's a big brother. Like,
yo, and that white man showed absolutely no fear. All right, you got me on the bar. Come here, Rogan.
But that's okay, but let's talk about that. As men, that's what we're supposed to do, especially when you're with your girl. You know what I mean? If some 6'9", you know, what's the Donovan, who's the player for the Rams?
Aaron Donald.
If an Aaron Donald looking dude is trying to punk you while you and your wife are out, the rule is you can't back down. Now you're looking at this big dude, you're like, this is going to hurt. But you can't be like, babe, grab your purse. Fine, we'll leave. You're not going to do that. So this dude, in every man's talk, you can't back to, especially in front of your girl or his wife. You got to step up. Now, he should have just stayed down. I'd have just laid there. Just had one eye open, just looking. Is he still there?
The minute he said, what? He should have faked a heart attack.
Just would have laid there. Just act like he knocked you out with that one slap and mind your business after that.
All I can say is thank God this was South Carolina and not Florida, because to stand your ground, that man, it couldn't work because that man didn't fear for his life because he kept talking shit. That man had no fear for his life. He just knew, well, you can't hurt me, Rogan. And then he said, guess what? I can. Well, again.
You gonna
Oh my God. Welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, like this one. We are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 76. Be sure to like, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Yep, and if you're listening on your podcast platform, make sure you rate and review as well, too. Now, speaking of videos that came out, there's one. Neo was on the cruise show out in L.A., and there's something he said, right? Matter of fact, we'll let Neo just say it himself.
I can only blame us men halfway for that, because as a woman, if a man sings the word bitch to you and you smile at him, he's probably going to do it again and again and again and again and again. And the more misogynistic the lyrics get, the more y'all accept it, the more that's going to happen. That's just kind of what that is. Mm-hmm. So, ladies, I love y'all to death, but if y'all want men to stop calling you bitches, stop dancing to them records.
And one of the things I saw on one of the comments on Twitter was like, well, Neo is saying is if you dress that way, then you deserve to be harassed. And I'm like, that's not exactly what he said, but.
Oh, goodness.
How shall I say this?
Yeah, how do I say this? So, I disagree with him for the most part.
Right.
There is some truth that if you're okay with certain type of lyrics, great. And I think that the difference is demographic, right? So when we were in college, the Chronic album, phenomenal album.
Yes.
Phenomenal. And Snoop had that song.
The hidden
Bitches
track.
Bitches ain't shit, but hoes and tricks.
Yes. Right? Favorite song on the album.
Yeah. So you'd be at the club. All of a sudden you hear that beginning. Bitches ain't shit, but... And all the women be like, oh, they went out to the dance floor, right? And they're out there just kind of just rocking and getting into it. At the student union at UTSA, we would play that. And it would just be all in there, all the ladies just loving it. So, but also, I think that younger demographic is a little bit... They can be a little bit more, especially in today's age, they're a little bit more, unfortunately, accepting of misogyny, misogynistic lyrics... And all that.
You think?
Now, fast forward.
I think it was worse back then.
Well, it was. But fast forward to where we are today. Mm-hmm. The women that are around our age that were dancing that in the club, they've seen some things. They know better. They've learned some things. And don't you even think about calling them a bitch today. Mm-hmm. Because they ain't going to have that. They might still dance to the song, but you better check yourself. Mm-hmm. Right? For younger people, it's very different. I don't think it's the lyrics is the issue that leads to misogyny and men calling women bitches. I think there's other things that would make someone accept or be okay the first time they're with somebody and they call them a bitch. Like I've never talked to somebody like that in a relationship. I don't understand how you do that.
Yeah.
But I think the very first time somebody calls you out of your name, that's a problem. And that's when you got to say, hey, either we can talk like adults or this is not going to work out. But you call me that one more time.
Speak like adults now.
Hey, I've done that. I've had an argument where somebody was like yelling at me in my house, which is like, I was like, hey, we can either talk about this like adults.
Or you can get the fuck out.
Or you can get out because you're mad and I'm not. And so, yeah. So you're not going to talk to me like that. And now it's my house. No, we don't play that. But I would never disrespectfully talk to somebody like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't blame the lyrics for it. I just think there's some dudes who are assholes, but I hope that there's more women that empower themselves to not allow them to date these type of assholes.
And I agree with you in that sense because, you know, here's the thing. It's like you said, we like the Chronic. We used to play that in the student center all the time, full volume in the jukebox. That was in the jukebox. It wouldn't be in the jukebox nowadays. They'd probably have the clean version in the student union because somebody would be offended. Everybody gets offended today, right? But back then a lot of stuff. You go back to the video, Gin and Juice video, where the one girl who everybody was acting was a little too stush. All of a sudden, they pour their 40s on her. And if you do that in today's videos, they'd be like, what the hell? So different time, right? And you think about that. But we listen to that song. It's my favorite song on the album. But at the same time, you won't see me calling a woman a bitch. That's just not going to happen. Now, I may call you a bitch just because, you know, like. But that's different, right? And you and I are not those people. And we know a lot of guys who are not those people that will call women out of their names like that because we have too much respect for women. It doesn't mean that because the lyrics are there. And yeah, Chris Rock even made a joke about it. In what was that stand-up? Never Scared. You know, about the more misogynistic the song, the more women love it, the more they dance to it. And it's true because it's just, it's music, it's art, you enjoy it. And so I get what Neo is saying, but just because women stop dancing to it doesn't mean that the artists are going to stop making the songs.
Right. No, they're not. I mean, you think, look at Two Live Crew. That was the epitome of misogyny when they came out, right? But yet, they go on tour. How many women were trying to fight to get to their hotel rooms and to be able to hook up with Luke and all that type of stuff? I mean, it's just insane.
Well, but actually... It was the guys trying to pay to get up front to be with the dancers. So that was always interesting to watch. People paying money to go have a snack.
Yeah. But it's just, I can't blame the music for it. And it's kind of like when they were talking about when hip hop was, you know, a lot of rap videos were just really the way they were treating women back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And you had a lot of people complaining about that. And I was always at the part of, well, no one made those women do that.
Right.
They need work. This is what they're choosing to do in that video. So that's kind of on them. And so it's like, if women stop dancing, then they wouldn't do it. I'm like, yeah, but people need money. They're going to go to work. These are dancers. This is what they do for a living is dance. And so, I mean, it's just a double standard, but yeah. I don't think you could blame the lyrics for that. So I disagree with Neo, but there's a little bit of what he's saying I think is right.
Exactly. You know who wasn't right as we switched to For the Love of Sports? Not us. It wasn't you. It wasn't me. Neither of us were right. We said he would not get another coaching job. And I'll be damned. The NFL went and hired Brian Flores as defensive assistant and linebackers coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when we're wrong, we admit it. Mm-hmm. At least I do more than you. But we're wrong, we admit it. And, you know, both of us thought that his career, based on that lawsuit, that's still going, right? It's not done. But based on that lawsuit, he's never going to coach in the NFL again. We were already saying, hey, go find a college team to lead and take them to a chip. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy he gets to stay. And great for the Steelers, if you really think about it. Because technically you have two head coaches.
Yeah, well, but here's the thing I like about the Steelers, and It's definitely not the fans, because Steelers fans are like Cowboys fans. So it's definitely not the fans. But the thing I like about the Steelers is they believe in longevity in their coaches. They've only had three head coaches, right? They had, was it Chuck Noll back in the day? Then they had, what was the chin guy? He was the coach when Jerome Bettis was there. He's a commentator. The name just escapes me. It's so bad because as soon as we get done talking about this.
I forget. Yeah.
And it's going to come right back up. And then now, you know, Coach Omar Epps, a.k.a. Mike Tomlin. and actually, the whole thing about the Rooney Rule came from the original owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. The rule was named after him. So it's great that they hired him. Right? They had a need. They hired him. Good. I like the fact that they did that because again, we just knew that he wasn't going to be able to work in the NFL again. Here's the thing that Jamel Hill tweeted, NFL owners are aware of the optics. Again, they don't care about being racist. They care about looking racist. Flores was hired because they can't keep banishing black men who stand up to them. This is also why every black coach needs to join Flores' lawsuit, embarrass the owners. And I see her point in that, too, because what she's saying is, well, they did this so they can't go, well, y'all blackball Cap, now you're blackballing Flores.
Yeah, but I think that's a bit of a reach, too, because what she is saying is that the NFL got together and then they said, hey, Steelers owner, can we talk? Mike, I need you to take one for the team. Here's what we as the NFL need you to do for us. Yeah. Hire him. Get him a spot. Don't care what it is. It could be manager of whatever. Give him a position so we can try to make this go away. That's not
make him the water boy. Here. That's some good quality.
Yeah, that's not what happened here. I mean, is it possible that Mike Tomlin has a relationship with Brian Flores? And talked to him and said, hey, let me go talk to my owners and say, hey, guys, we need a defensive assistant. Brian Flores is great. I've known him for a long time. We have a good relationship. Let's get him the spot. And they're like, you know, Mike, you've done well with us. You won Super Bowls with us. If you feel this is what you need to take it to the next level, sure, we'll sign off on it. Is that possible that could happen? But she's making
it doesn't work out, both you Rogans are out.
But, I mean, she's making it seem like there's this whole huge conspiracy, you know, around that the NFL is saying, hey, nobody.
Well.
You know, we're not going to touch this. And it's like, fine. You know, well. Let's get with the Steelers. They'll do it. I don't know. I think that's a bit of a reach.
You know, since this is named after your daddy, you hire him.
You started this shit.
Oh. So, you know, one of the things coming off the Super Bowl, the Rams won. They had their victory parade. And of course, there are a couple of things that popped up. Like when Tom Brady said, hey, Matt, drink water. Trust me. And then Matthew Stafford's wife has on a jacket that says Matthew, not Matt, and tags Brady in it. I'm like, that's pretty disrespectful. But, you know, all fun and tongue-in-cheek fun, right? But the other thing that really dominated it was Matthew Stafford is on stage. There's this photographer on stage. She falls off the stage. He just turns around and walks away. And people are like, oh, my God, you know, why didn't he help her? He didn't even go check on her. Well, come to find out that I think his wife actually did, checked on her. He was drunk as shit. They were all blasted, right?
Well, what's he supposed to
dive off the stage after?
Yeah, just foot.
Funniest comment, somebody said, what's he supposed to do? Throw a touchdown? I love the internet, man. But Pat McAfee, who was a punter with the Indianapolis Colts back in the day, and he has this really hilarious sports talk show, he said he donated to that lady's GoFundMe. He assumed she worked for somebody important to be credentialed. Since donating, a lot of terrible things have come to light from her Twitter account that I obviously don't support at all. I don't think I can ask for a refund for GoFundMe. I've learned from this situation, though. You can't just assume folks who are representing slash working on the world's biggest stage have passed any moral background checks like most athletes and others have to pass in this modern world.
Okay, that's false. Athletes don't have to pass it. Just stop that. Please, stop that.
Yeah, because Nick Bosa was on the fire when he got drafted by the 49ers. They're like, have you seen his tweets from college?
Yeah. Yeah, please. Well, here's what I don't understand. That's the problem with the internet right now, because I read the tweets that he was referencing.
Mm-hmm.
This is going back to 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who does that? You know what I mean? Like, you take my Facebook. I find it You ever have somebody like a photo or something that you posted like 10 years ago? And you're like, wow, you really went way back through my profile.
Stalker. You're
looking for stuff. Yeah. So why would you do that? And then if you're going to donate, just donate and shut up. Like, okay. Who cares? I don't investigate everybody's background before I try to help somebody. If you want to help them, give them whatever few hundred dollars that you did and just walk away from it.
This is how I know you're not on Twitter very often, right? This is how I know you live on Facebook and you don't enter the Twitter sphere. Because this is what happens on Twitter. When you get in the spotlight, they go digging up all your shit. There's a reason why there are people who make a lot of money scrubbing your social media off of social media. Because when you go back, and because think about it, when you go back and look at some of these tweets, right? Just her response to some people, almost got shot in the ghetto because at whoever this other person is, wanted to F with Rogan's. Then this other one, she goes, respond to somebody else, Rogan, you just want to fuck. And another one, remember when we yelled fucking bitch ass Rogan's at Munga up my car? She used the word a lot in a lot of different ways. And it wasn't just, these weren't rap lyrics. So you can't blame that.
Well, and again, I'm not justifying her tweets. I'm just trying to understand it, because I know that there are some, and I've seen this, where you have some young white people. I know when I was in Oxford, Mississippi, I saw this live, that they are socially talking to each other using the N-word, like black people would do with each other. But they're calling each other.
And you did not call on the ancestors to put them back in their place?
I was in Oxford, Mississippi, and I wanted to get out of Oxford, Mississippi. So, no. That's I am not about to put my hands on a bunch of young white kids that go to Ole Miss that are out at a bar, and I'm the only black person in the bar? No. I just overheard it because I was there by myself, but like, I'm in Oxford, Mississippi. That's going to be a lose-lose for me if I did that. It's unfortunate that she said all those things. Mm-hmm. And that sucks that, you know, when you go viral, everybody starts digging up your past.
Yep.
Which I'm glad that there was no social media when you and I were younger. So
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, because if there was, we wouldn't even be doing the show right now.
Well, let's be honest, because I know you don't really, and you haven't spent a lot of time in the Twitter sphere, I will tell you now, go ahead and scrub your shit now, because if anything goes viral, we need to make sure that they don't go digging up your past. So go back and scrub.
There's not much. There's not much. I don't do a whole lot of posting on Twitter. Most of my stuff is on Facebook. My Instagram is like mainly stuff that you tag me in. I don't really do much, right? My Facebook, I have some stuff I put public, some stuff I put private. But the stuff I have that's public, I'm going to have to go double check. Just to be able to say so. But I know what's not in there is me dropping N-words or me calling women bitches.
Right.
Something like that. That's not in there.
You're not quoting song lyrics? I mean, come on, man.
No. No, that's not in there. So I know at least I'm safe. Mm. No one's going to say I'm misogynistic or I'm racist.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was watching this, as we switch over to politics as usual, I was watching this documentary on, it's called Downfall, the case against Boeing. And your guy was front and center. And I was like, you go, Ted. Because he was really giving it to the former president and CEO of Boeing at the time, just like, and calling him out. I'm like, you go, Ted. Now, why don't you stay on this side of the aisle more times? Because he was actually, that was one of the few times I can go, you know what? Bravo for that 10-second clip that I looked at.
Well, at least there's something positive. I'm sure that there are some positive things that Ted Cruz has done in his political career.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. And I'm sure there's some
gotta dig for that shit, but
he's done. Just like any politician, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, you know, all of them have done some things. Mm-hmm. I'm just done with him after the whole Cancun lying thing. Like, my thing is, that was
one your of those, breaking point.
That was my breaking point. So I'm like, you didn't even have to lie. You could have just said, look, it was cold. We have the means. We went to Cancun. I have my laptop. There's Wi-Fi in Cancun. I was still working. Just say that. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. But just the fact that he just lies that much. I mean, I already didn't really, not a big fan of him after the whole, his battle between him and Trump, and how he let Trump just totally disrespect him. But I'm still done with Ted Cruz, no matter what. I mean, Ted Cruz could go, he can go after every person that says the N-word in Twitter over the last 10 years and publicly reprimand every one of them. I still wouldn't like him.
What if he had tweeted, "We out this bitch, Rogans"? Would that have been fine?
It'd have been funny, but still wouldn't like him. Still wouldn't like him.
As much as you don't like him, and you've encouraged over the last year people to, you know, to get registered to vote because, of course, you know, he's up for re-election this year for a Senate seat. I believe Texas is going to Texas. Texas is going to Florida. Texas is going to Flexus. And Ted Cruz is going to be right back where he is because, I'm sorry, he knows how to talk to the base. Even though every once in a while he can, you know, show us, you know, okay, a sliver of goodness. And in that clip, when you see it, you'll just go, oh, you know what? I get it. But yeah, he's still being.
Well, we'll see. But early voting has started. So Texas, let's go.
Look, as we get into this bullshit, I saw this story, right? From Valentine's Day, which was, you know, that wonderful day last week where everybody had to profess their love. This man last year. Now, this did come from TikTok, so I know how you feel about stuff coming from TikTok. But he's apparently set aside $360 for his fiance's Valentine's gift last year, and then he would deduct a dollar every time she yelled at him. He was left with $40 for her gift. So she yelled at him 320 times in a year. Who's more at fault here, him or her, really and truly?
Him.
Why?
Two reasons. One, why'd you come up with $360?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the level of your love for your girlfriend or fiance. You're about to marry this woman. This isn't just like someone you just met on Tinder, y'all been dating for a while, and oops, February 14th rolled around. This is your fiance. Right. The second was, by the time you got down to $10, you know, the first $10 of her yelling at you, that's when y'all need to get some couples therapy or get some counseling. Or right. You need to get out. Because if she's yelling at you that much, there's either a reason or y'all need to get some therapy and counseling before y'all get married. So I blame him for that.
Well, you're right along the lines of some of these folks, because some people are saying, like, you know, they should probably just break up because that relationship is full of red flags for a number of reasons. One, for her yelling at him so many times. And two, for him basically saying, you know, behave good so you can get a good gift, and then, you know, punishing her for bad behavior. And it's like, you know, so what kind of, is there power struggle in that relationship, and this is what it is? Or was it just a gag and just all in fun, you know? Because that's what, as he's saying, it was all in good fun. This is what it is, because she doesn't realize how much she yells at me, so this is a way to kind of show her. And maybe 360 was because he was already 5 days past Valentine's, and like, you know, fuck this. You keep yelling at me, this is what we're going to do. doing a dollar a day until then.
Well, that's the thing about if that's a true story, right? Let's say it's true. And it was on TikTok and it had his name on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you embarrass your fiance like that for a fun little gag? Like, to me, like, why'd you, like, I see some of these things on these TikToks that go out. That's why I know it's kind of, it's bullshit, right? Mm-hmm. Because why would you totally humiliate your partner for a viral video? So obviously they're in on it and it's probably a joke. But let's just say if it was true. But say if it was true, why would you like totally? I wouldn't be in a relationship with somebody and be like, whatever she does that annoys me, I'm going to create a video and put it out for the world to see and let it go viral for some yuck yucks, you know? So that's why I just don't buy it. But if you are doing that, well, then you're freaking sick.
But you know,
which I think there's some young people that do it, like the young kids, they do that shit all the time, and I'm just like, why would you do that to your friend?
But see, here's the thing about it, because you're a private person too, right? Like, I'm a private person, you're a private person. You're not putting everything out there for the world to see at all times, right? And therefore, you wouldn't do that. That's why, thankfully, there wasn't social media around, because we probably would have been a little bit more, we would have been a little bit more open with everything, because that's what Twitter is. People go out and they just tweet whatever's on their mind. And we probably, the shit that goes through my mind does not deserve to be out there in the world, okay? So it's fine. And that's why I'm glad I have that restraint. But for some people, it's like sharing everything. And then you go viral, you get enough followers, now you become an influencer, now you can earn money. I mean, there's money to be made on this stuff, and that's enticing to people. Some people would prefer likes or being verified to other things in life, that material things in life, because to them, they can get something off of it. It's that validation from social media. So, hey, to each his own, whether it's real or not, I mean, you know, I won't do that to my wife, because she and I would then argue about what the times that she actually yelled. I wasn't yelling.
Well, yeah. Well, because here's what would happen if you did that to your wife. It'd be like, well, Yanni, you're verified now. You got 500,000 followers, all this. How did you get here? Well, it started with a divorce. I did this video that went viral, and she left me. So I had a lot of free time. Just kept making content.
I had so much free time, I could make content all the time.
Yeah.
Well, I think somebody here, you know, the Winter Olympics happening. I think this person deserves a gold medal, though, and it's not for a Winter Olympics sport. It's actually a flight attendant. Apparently, there was this unruly passenger on an LA-bound American Airlines flight headed for the cockpit, right? Holding plastic silverware, like a shank, right? He then tried to break a small champagne bottle, kicked the service card into one of the flight attendants, and tried to open the plane door. This hero, this gold medalist deserving flight attendant, grabbed the coffee pot and smacked that mother right over the top of the head. And luckily, there's a passenger in there who was a police officer, which I'm wondering, where the hell was this police officer when all the shit was going on? That finally helped restrain the man with zip ties and duct tape for the rest of the flight.
What is going on? Kudos to her for her quick thinking. Mm-hmm. But it's been so crazy over the last 2 years to see all these crazy things happening on flights.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. And, you know, most of the flights are starting to sell alcohol again on the flight. People are getting hammered in the airports now because they weren't serving alcohol on the plane. So you're just pounding drinks.
Yes.
But people just losing their minds. And, like, plastic silverware. You got to hijack a plane with plastic. Stop it. Just stop it. I would just let you come at me with that spork. Be like, ugh.
Oh, shit. I've heard of bullshit before, but that's some serious bullshit. Don't just play around.
No, it's serious bullshit. And I truly hope that every one of these people that are losing their shit on planes are banned from flying again in the airline, and they just have to deal with that and look at the consequences of your actions.
I want to know what the hell are they... Because he wasn't even trying to... It wasn't even that he was trying to get to the cockpit. He was trying to open the door. What are you trying to do? Crash the... I mean... What do you think's gonna happen? You open that door, you're going out. You're the first thing out the door. So if you want to die, don't get on the plane. How about that?
Yeah.
Because all you're doing is putting everybody else in danger. Because you're going out the door, you're gonna kill a couple other people because the flight attendant's gonna go out the door too because they're standing up.
Yeah.
That is it's the wildest thing.
Now I wonder, do you have hero syndrome? Like if you were sitting on that plane and you see this dude losing his mind, the flight attendants are trying to figure it out, and he's trying to go to the door, would you try to get up and stop him?
It depends on how close he is to me, because here's the difference between that. It's like, if I am close to the situation, I don't know, because I was the guy that used to jump off the stage in the club to break up the fight, like, y'all motherfuckers ain't gonna mess this up for me, goddammit. Now, you know me, I was 145 pounds soaking wet, jumping in the middle of fights to try and break that shit up. But back then, I was in my 20s. I was, you know, invincible. You know how we were in our 20s? Invincible. Nothing could touch us, right? So we're fine. I wouldn't do that shit now.
Yeah.
Security. So I think now, in this case, do I get up and do that? It really kind of depends on if I have my family traveling with me, you're close to me. I already told you, what these jokers start to act a fool. Honey, hold the baby. Because I'm going to protect them first. But if I see somebody heading towards the door, strap in. Let's go.
You got to
have to catch them at the door, though.
You got to have a code for your wife. Be like, hey, honey, we're about to go to DEFCON 5. Alert level orange. Brace yourself.
Grab a spork. Oh, shit. Let's get out of here, man. Hey, don't forget we drop our regular audio episodes every Monday. Tuesdays, we drop the video on YouTube. And, of course, on Wednesdays, we are back at it. Married at First Sight, Season 14, Boston.
Boston.
Had a lot of requests for Ready for Love. Had a lot of requests for Love is Blind. Look, once we get past, let's get y'all past season 14 first, okay? Once we get past season 14, then we can see if we can convince him. We might as well start calling on the Prayer Warriors now, convince him to do another reality show, whether it's season 15 or maybe it's another show, because I see a lot of people saying, I'm done with Married at First Sight. So
I'm done with Married at First Sight.
I see so many people commenting like, yeah, I'm not even watching this season. I just watch your recaps because yeah. I'm not watching this shit. So we appreciate you guys. Make sure, again, that you not only like and subscribe, but you also rate and review. Very important. All right. As we try to head to the next milestone. Yes. I'm Yanni Rude.
I'm Just Terrell.
And make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes. Send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.